How is everybody today? All right. I have no catchy phrases like Greg uses, so we'll just go. I'll take good anytime today. So if you feel like saying that, if I'm in the middle of something, go ahead and say good. All right. So this past week, 168 hours. Steve may have squeezed an extra one or two in there, but everybody else, we get 168 hours no matter what. And you take away, let's see, average teenager, you take away about 100 hours. The average old guy with a prostate, you take away about 20 hours. That's our sleep. But you going to be okay, Kathy? Kathy is making up for the emotions from yesterday. So she's on the happy side of things. But that leaves us with about 110 hours, right? So we got to get some sleep in. We got to do a little bit of eating. There's toiletries involved somewhere along the line. So it leaves us about 110 hours of our lives every week that, you know, God has this planned out for us. He has created this day for you. He's created tomorrow for you if you're here tomorrow. And there's so much just going on. And I hope that what you hear today inspires you to make the most of those 110 hours. If you drive in Chicago, Luke would say hop on the train so you can study the Bible more and talk to interesting people. So just this week, this is what I spent my time doing. First thing on Monday, I had my annual review at work. That was a whopping half hour of my 110 hours. I had a call about my colon. That was about 20 minutes. So, you know, good times once you pass 50. I went to a funeral this week. That was about 8 hours of time. And it was, if you ever want to talk to me about that, it was a different kind of funeral. It was very interesting for me. There was a wedding this week. That took about 6 hours. I ate about 8 hours. We found out at 10 o'clock Friday morning that my daughter Shelby had to be out of her dorm by 12:10. So we got her out on time. That took about 3 hours. I did clean the house today in probably 8 different intervals. It took about a total of an hour. It looks like I put maybe an hour in. And then out of my 110 hours, I spent about 50 hours at work. So when you think about what we do when you are in the workforce and things like that, or maybe there's alternatives to workforce, there's a lot of time there. And this is a big part of what we do, right? One of the cool things about when you really study what the Scripture says about work, work is not a curse for us. Hard, unrewarding work is a kind of a curse. But good, hard work actually happened before the end of creation was done. And God said, hey, mankind, I'm going to give you dominion over the earth. Be the masters of this earth. Take care of the creation. So that's pretty cool. So all these things are really important in who we are as a creative being, created in the image of God. But the other thing that we really need to think about as believers, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Thank you for giving me a life worth living, is everything we do has eternal perspectives to it. And that means whether it's sweeping the floor at work, or it's leading a meeting, or it's driving a school bus, or it's raising small children at home, or whatever that is, there's so much more to at least understand that this is the day that the Lord has made. I really wanted to talk about that this week. What Jesus actually taught in John 17, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Well, I just talked about 50 hours of my 110 hours this week was in the world, in the workplace, being with other people. And then Jesus goes on to pray, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me in the world, I've sent them into the world. So everyone here is on a mission from God. Now, whether or not you drive a four-door black sedan or not, I don't know. And if you don't understand that reference, then you'll have to Google it. But think about this, too. In Matthew, we read, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can we be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So are you salty wherever you are, in a good way? You are the light of the world. The town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I think it's really important that we realize this isn't a really bright flashlight, or it's not a one of those lights that the detectives use when they're sitting you down. Has anybody done that besides me? Okay. So when you're sitting at the desk and they've got the light shining in your face, where were you on blah, 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 blah. It's not that kind of a light. It's a light that's fulfilling that whole room. It's a light that makes things more useful. And that can be convicting to me, because it's not that my Christian life and the being that is Doug is so much greater because I have Jesus in my heart. No, it's hey, look at this brightness here that comes from the filling of Jesus Christ. So what's this really got to do? Why this topic? I really wanted to make sure that we keep the Great Commission really great in our lives. And any time we have a chance to discuss that, we ought to as a church, right? We recently did a couple studies. One was My Brother's Keeper, and the other one was the Holy Spirit. And these things really tie into this. If you're really going to take advantage of where you are every day in life for God's kingdom, we need to be pulling in the Holy Spirit. And we need to be pulling in others, our friends, our Christian friends, and those that pray with us. And that tighter to 24 to 35% of your life, that's 168 hours. That's including the sleep part in there. And then I hope that you leave here today with the vigor for tomorrow, regardless of what you are doing tomorrow. Okay, so let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this place that you have us today, that you have made it a priority in these folks' lives to be here. And just bless them for their choices to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I forget what's next. Okay, so this is a little bit of a downer, but it happens. The struggle's real, as they say, right? So studies show there's no significantly greater ethics among religious people than non-religious people. And that should bother us. Right, so when we talk about the light in the room, we should be noticeably different. Our ethics and work should be greater. There's no significant difference between the church and unchurched and pilfering company supplies or stealing time. Thought you were at work. Yeah, it was at work. I wasn't doing work. That internet, ooh. Cheating on income tax is really no difference between the church and unchurch. That's kind of tough to hear. Calling in sick when you're really not sick. General work ethic, and that word is actually charity, not charity. But I must confess, I do have family in Hazard, Kentucky. And then another confusion is too many Christians have this area of holy work, and then they have this area of work. And we're called to be holy as God is holy. And think about all the times that God has not been holy. None. So that would indicate that whatever we're doing, we should be holy, right? Many Christians live a segmented life simply trying to survive. And that is, there's some of us in this room that I got up, I made the donuts, I came home, I got up, I made the donuts, I went home. If you watch broadcast TV back in the 70s, you know the commercial I'm referring to, or if you saw a rerun. So Ecclesiastes 2:20 through 23, Solomon, well, I turned this into an inspirational poster. How many of you like inspirational posters at work? Yes? I mean, they're just awesome. You see the eagle flying over the Grand Canyon and go, today's the day. I'm going to lead. So I give to you Solomon's inspirational poster, attitude. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because someone else will enjoy it. is what that part of Scripture says. Oh, it really stinks to be a worker. I'll actually read it to you so I don't get sued for copyright infringement or misrepresentation. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What? Oh, Ecclesiastes 2:20-23. And it's unfortunate that so many people are, some are stuck, some are unmotivated to move on, to really go find the work that God has for them. And there is a work out there for you. If you've already done your career, there's another work out there for you. God has something for us every day. Many people work ethically really hard. They're task-based, but they miss connections with people. Here's this inspirational poster. And it's the last one. Oh, no, it didn't go in. Oh, it was really good. Oh, there it is. Pretension. The downside of being better than everyone else is that people tend to assume you're pretentious. Might have to mull on that one a little bit. But the point here is, are we so involved with our work ethic that nothing else matters? I have to do a really good job of getting this data pulled and presented today. Nothing else matters. But when we look in Matthew 6, there's a couple of times we'll hit that today, but in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Well, what are all these things? Well, the things I need from work, the things I need food, I need money, I need clothing, I need this, I need that. But if we seek first God's kingdom, we're going to build connections with people, right? We're going to love on others. We still want to work well and have a good work ethic, but that doesn't become the most important thing. So you got those kinds of two different kinds of workers there. There's a third kind of a worker, and this one is, okay, I get it, man. I am all about Jesus Christ and people hearing about him in the workforce, and I'm worshiping him in my heart and on everything I do. I'm so thankful to have this job. And so in Romans 8, 14 through 16, we read, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So we know we're doing a great job. We're so glad to be here with people and really engaged. And we even talk to people about Jesus Christ sometimes. We have these faith conversations, because that's a safe word to use in the West. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And if we're not motivated, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we can get a little bit awkward here. Paul here is absolutely talking about he is filled with the Spirit. He's speaking boldly to people who are wanting to hear his word. He's talking specifically to the church. And we want to be able to speak God's truth a lot of times with the other people that we're with, whether it's work or not. And then 1 Corinthians 12. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another. So there's all these things. I'm really excited about the Holy Spirit. I really want the Holy Spirit, but I'm not totally giving over to the Holy Spirit, and I feel a little confounded at work. So my purpose is there. I really want to be effective, but are we really changing our workforce? Do we really have the opportunity that when people are struggling and they see that light that's in the cubicle next door that they want to know more? Or they're sitting behind the seat in the the taxi cab. We don't have many taxi cabs anymore. In your Uber. So those are three different kinds of workers. Saying, and they're still not necessarily ideally where we should be. The last worker is the ones that do transform their neighborhoods and the workplace. And if you go back to Matthew 6, and it's all about thinking about God's kingdom. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth during the shift in my factory as it is in heaven. And guys, there's really only one way to be able to do that. One, we have to be in God's word. We have to be in fellowship with others, and we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I really invite you to go back sometime this week and take up some of your 110 hours and review the first question series that we had, and then also review Greg's recent series on the Holy Spirit and really soak that in. Are we able to apply that to our lives? Because there's so much good stuff there. Do we have any retirees in the room? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Congratulations. Well done, good and faithful servants. By the way, I hope you're really enjoying my Social Security that I'm giving you right now. And that side of the room, make sure you got some for me. But too many retirees, and I'm not claiming anybody here, and some people that are disabled, hey, I'm done. I'm off the sidelines. And I know I've spoken with a lot of guys in particular that have retired. They really struggle. What do I do with that 50-hour hole? What do I do with my passion? Now, if you guys know Ed, he might tell you a couple stories about boats and bands and pianos for patriots and stuff like that. So here's an example of a guy that continues on, right? He's got more time. He's got more things to really focus on that mission. So we have to kind of break that methodology, too. I know there's some people in the room, too, that are thinking about retirement. Not as soon as I want. But am I preparing myself so I will be able to continue on and use the days that the Lord has given me? If you turn to your Bible in Matthew 29, and I'll wait for you guys all to get there. Some of you are going, crud, did I get the wrong version of the Bible? There is no Matthew 29. Okay. But what if this existed? So Matthew 28, 19, and 20 says what? Go and make disciples, right? But then we turn the page to Matthew 29, and to your brothers, now is the time for you to share what you have learned from me. However, as you share it with others, be sure you keep what I taught you separate from your work life. The principles that I share with you only apply to situations outside your work life. Do not make them fit into this context. The miracles you saw in me can only be done in certain situations outside your work life. Keep this in mind when thinking about praying for the sick, those who need help, or those who are lost. The truce will not work well at work. So, obviously, this scripture doesn't exist, but how many of us live that way? Right? We are absolutely in this arena of fear that if I say something wrong, somebody's going to blow the whistle on me, I could lose my job, I could at least get in trouble, I might have a sit down. It's really scary. So I'm just going to stay with person number three. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, I love you a lot. Yay, take my work and turn it into something. And here's a personal example of mine. I travel all over for my work. Well, 7 states. But it's really hard to know what my day is going to look like, who I'm going to run into, what our conversations are going to be. So a lot of times my morning prayer is, God, let me be a blessing to someone today. And I felt like I was doing an okay job. In fact, I was really proud of my humility around others and just doing an awesome job of that. And I found out from someone I really respect that, hey, Doug, you do an awesome job of getting projects done. The way you do it, man. Ugh. And I thank God for that. that God used someone outside the church to bring that to my attention? Because that's something I want to do differently. I really want to go back and apply the things. I want to be Jesus at work to people. So what does Jesus actually said? So Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Well, he's got all the authority. What am I worried about?
He's the one that got me in this job right now, so if he wants me to have a sit down with somebody because I talked about Jesus too much, hey, that's Jesus has all authority. Therefore, and go make disciples of all nations and companies, baptizing, doesn't really say in companies, by the way, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of today's shift. And we get so big-minded when we think about spiritual things and churchy things and God things that we really do let go of the everyday's context, don't we? So what if we start thinking about that way? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. I mourned with those who mourn this week. And I tell you, it is amazing. It shouldn't be that people suffer loss and trauma the same as they do here in this church. They wail, they cry, they need hugs. And what if I took that Jesus that was here in this building with me everywhere else I go? Imagine what that might do for them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud about being humble, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful what you do. Boy, that do not repay evil for evil. Oh, man. That is hard. You never know who's really got your back, right? Until you hear something. And I knew I couldn't trust them for that. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And some of us have really good skills to be able to have a conversation and to be able to go pursue people and to solve issues. And some of us just aren't very good at it. And that's what I really appreciate about God's word here. As far as it depends on you, you know, if it's possible. So those of us who are really skilled with talking to other people and being transparent and really wanting to move the team that next way, you have a high level of responsibility of going in and being transparent about yourself with your teams, being really humble and helping things there. Those of you who are shy, hey, do what you can and learn to grow about that. Hey, you could pray. You can call on the Holy Spirit to help you with that. My prayer, okay, we already talked about that. My prayer, you know, Jesus wants us here. We're the salt. We're the light. Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart. You know, that's the same fear that's used when we talk about the fear of God. So God's put you in that job, at least for today. So we're supposed to treat that supervisor with respect. Obey them not only to win their favor, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God with your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward. And guys, this is, again, being about being a missionary. Here are some key steps on how to win people to Christ through your hard work. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as with working to the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Whatever you do, you're going to get an inheritance for. So if you're cleaning off a table, or if you're finishing up a pie, or whatever you do for work, you know, do it as hard as you can for God. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work. So I sometimes get a little frustrated when my team isn't performing as well as we can because it's someone else's fault. It's not my job to highlight that, right? My job is to keep at those things that are under my control and to do a good job there. And then, again, from creation to eternal glory, work matters. So Genesis 1, that's the verse that talks about towards the end of creation, God says, hey, mankind, here you go. I want you to take dominion over all this. Take really good care of my creation.
It's really important that you do that. But guess what? We get to work in heaven. Thank you. Yeah, good. And all the retirees said amen. Okay. But no, I hadn't realized this before. So Isaiah 65, 17 through 23 talks about new heavens and the new earth. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. So that one supervisor you won't remember. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in the sound of weeping and cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but just a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years, and the sinner 100-year-old will be accursed. And here we go about work. They shall build houses without having to repair them, Cam. And inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. It sounds like we're going to work a lot in heaven. So this is good practice for us, right? Proverbs, Solomon, the fun side of Solomon. Do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. So Bezalel and Aholiab. I remember Jamie Dick talked about this years ago when we talked about a building and doing things like that and taking our skills. And if you read just about these two guys on a temporary tabernacle, just this tent that got rolled up and thrown into a wagon, and got moved around for 40 years. Well, the tent held up for 40 years. But just the amount of skill and detail and work that they put into that is really cool. And here we are thousands of years later, and we can read about those guys and their great work. Hiram, when Solomon built the temple, you know, here's another guy that was really good at his work, and the Bible calls that out. It was used for the glory of God. Proverbs 31, woman. So single guys, she's the one to go find. But not only is managing the household well, but is also handling finances. That the work that she does not only brings glory to her and glory to God, it also brings glory to her husband. So it's a really cool thing there. Aquila and Priscilla in the New Testament, tent makers, literally. They helped out Paul, gave him some part-time work while he was a minister, and then they actually went and they traveled with Paul for a while, and they helped with the ministry. Lydia, yeah, purple cloth lady, it's all I know. It was really important to sell purple cloth back in the day. She had her own house. She became a great hostess for the early church, so she did these different things. Again, taking the work that God had given her to do, being very faithful with it, and living a life of faith as that kind of a worker. And then Cornelius, he's up here today. Enough said about that. No, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, Acts 10. It is spelled the same way, so if you want to Google that, that's fine. And Cornelius did not grow up in the Jewish faith. This idea of Christianity was a new thing to him, but he wanted to learn more, and he had a great responsibility. I remember when we were first doing worshiptainment is what we called KICK back in the day. Oh, boy. Needed some counsel on that. And one of the Sunday bands was going to be Cornelius and the Italian Band. And if you read in the right version of the Bible, Acts 10 says Cornelius was over the Italian Band. But it was this legion of Roman soldiers that this guy Cornelius was responsible for. And he was known throughout the community. So think about this. It is an overwhelming force that has invaded and is in control of Palestine. And he's known by the Jewish people for his kindness, for the way he works with the community, for the alms that he gave to the poor. And God uses him. And of all the people, God says, hey, Peter, you thought walking on water was hard. I want you to go talk to this goy Roman soldier and bring him to Christ. And Peter says, I don't touch anything that's unclean. And that was the very first time where we really started seeing this great force of the early Christian church, the early apostles, grabbing hold onto the rest of the world that Jesus Christ loved so much. And it's because of this man was a great worker that loved God and opened this door to really start spreading the gospel. What a cool story. If you get a chance this week, read about that too, but do the other homework first. Talents to talents. So in Matthew 25 and Luke 19, you can read kind of the same story. They're slightly different, but I'll read Matthew 25 here for you. So a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. So when we talk about being excellent at our work, it doesn't mean we're all necessarily at the same level. And it doesn't mean that we're all perfect. But what it does mean is to execute, to work, to do well according to our abilities. And frankly, I really do believe that God will continue to give us more abilities when we're faithful with what he's given us. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them, and he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. The reward for good hard work is more good hard work. And we get to do it in heaven. Yes. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. And he also went to who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I made 2 more. Master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you... You know, we work with people like that today. You would think a company like this could give us blah, 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 blah. Well, why should I work so hard? I don't get to park in the blah, blah, blah spot. So these people are still out there today, right? Well, this person would say, hey, they gave me the talent. Who knew they didn't know what I'd do with it? I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. So the Bible tells us that God puts people over us, governors and kings and things like that, to take care of us, to lead us and things like that. Here's somebody who is defying the leadership of somebody who's ahead of them. And that's an issue. And we need to check our hearts too. Sometimes we're given stuff, we're like, what in the heck are we doing this for? This isn't what I was hired to do. You wicked and slothful servant, you knew I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have at least received what was my own interest. So he did nothing with it. He completely wasted the opportunity. All right, this is a great quote, and when we're training the next deacons and elders, we go through Great Commission Leadership Institute, and there is actually an article in there. It's called a really cool thing. Anyway, it talks about your work and just our association of churches really thinks that work is so important that we do a good job. And this is what Mark wrote. As we are unashamedly aware of God's presence in our work, so first are we, right? We will care more about our work and we will think harder about how our work is going to serve the people benefiting from it. This will result in higher quality work, more expansive vision of the impact of our work. So you think about that guy with the one talent. Look, they gave me the talent. They told me to take care of it. I took care of the talent. But if we have an expansive view of what could happen with that, we get more engaged with it. More joy in our work. Yes, joy in our work. Woo! More awareness of God's care and concern for co-workers. So we become more like Jesus around other people. Clients, customers, supervisors, and others. I tell you what, there's nothing that binds the humanity of people that we work with than saying, would you mind if I prayed for you about that? I have never had an experience where I've done that and someone has gone to HR or legal and complained. Because they know that the purpose and the desire for them comes from a really good place. And it's so cool. And then it's cool to see God work. So. Psalm 139, and this is for everybody, but I'm done with my career. So I've retired. Maybe, unfortunately, there's some disability. So what? So what do I do about that, Doug? Nice message. Thanks for the inspirational posters. You got one for me. On 139, 1 through 16 is really cool. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all together. So this is anybody. God is so engaged with all of us that no matter where we are in our stations in life, God knows all this stuff about us. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I just don't understand how you know so much about me, why you care about me. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, are you there? If I make my bed in Sheol, are you there? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about in the night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. So regardless of what you feel your situation is, God wants to use this day for you. He wants to make it terribly awesome. For you form my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made until I retire. No. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. And I was like, does that really mean what it means? And it does. Great, Doug, what's that mean? My being, who I am, this chassis, this 51-year-old chassis, you know. You're going to use it for your glory. This is the day that you have made. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Your work was written, every one of them, the days that were for me, when as yet there were none of them. The days were formed for me. If you're no longer in the workforce, you're preparing to retire, you might not know exactly what your days have for you, but God does. And they are purposed to bring him glory. So if you are done with your career, what do you care about? What are you passionate about? What is God pressing you to use resources? And those resources are your time and your flexibility, right? Your resources might be finances, life skills, your home, opening your home, opening your vehicle. There's a lot of younger people. There's a lot of inexperienced workers out there that could use some experience from people that have gone through things. I love talking to Jim about back in the day when he was firing up nuclear plants and stuff like that. It's just the crazy engineering, and makes me a little nervous about some of the 80s plants. But just lots of life experience there that we can share with other people, right? We're on this together. So really the perspective of today's message really isn't so much about your work, but it's about you and your use of you. That's what matters to God. So here's some tips. How do you check your current status or your current decisions? What needs do you see that can be met? What is there that you can do that you know you can meet? That might mean you should meet them. What opportunities have you been given? And that could mean in your past work life. It could be where you are currently in your work life. How can I use this for the glory of God? Do we pray about that enough? What is your sphere of influence? So we've got our family. We've got our group here at Darby Creek. We've got our neighborhood. We've got the people that we're in the same building with, that we're in meetings together. What resources do you have at your disposal? Is there a reason that you can bring up Jesus Christ? I have a lot of meetings. And there's a great phrase, I can't remember the scripture right now, but Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is expected. That's a great meeting phrase. And especially when you're trying to motivate people, hey, congratulations, we got hard work. I'm giving you this hard work. By the way, Jesus Christ said this 2,000 years ago. Right? What are you inclined to do? Do you have skills, preferences, passion? You may have stuff that you've really wanted to do for a long, long time, and because of your responsibilities to your family, you haven't been able to do that. But as life changes, can you do that? Or you may be really stuck in a job that makes you feel like number one or number two of the list of those four kinds of workers out there, that this just is not working out for me. I need to find something else. What spiritual gifts do you have? If you are a Frank Farazin or a Maggie Farazin and you're stuck in a cubicle doing drawings for an engineering firm, that might drive you crazy, because they definitely have gifts of caring for other people and such. So getting a job where they're engaged with people. What beliefs about work and others do you harbor that might not align with God's word? So are you a good enough student of the word that you know exactly what God's view on work is? And maybe that needs to be adjusted a little bit. And you might start using yourself and your work differently. Who at Darby Creek can you discuss or pray with or be with or do with? Is there somebody else that if you came alongside the two of you together would really see a big change in your neighborhood or in your family or even where you work? What about recreation and other activities? How are those being used within that same 110 hours of purpose a week, right? So there's some references. It's online if you want to visit any of those things. But I really just wanted to go back and really reinforce that when we're up here on Sundays, we're not just trying to burn some of your 110 hours and fill you with more knowledge, but give you applicable things that, boy, if I would really take some time and reinvest in that study of the Holy Spirit and think about it in context of my work, what might I do differently? If I would think about, hey, if Brad and I are getting together, when we're talking about work, do we move beyond the financials? You know, do we talk about how do we influence somebody at work? Hey, could you pray for my friend at work, so-and-so? We've been talking about this and that and the other. Get it? Okay. All right, yes. Thank you, Pam. You are an excellent student. You listen very well. So, all right, with that, I'm going to pray while the band comes up. Our Heavenly Father, just thank you for the gift of work. Thank you for the wonder of your word. And thank you for the fact that you know the days that you have for us and that they are meant for good. You know the plans you have for us, and they are plans for good. God, let us use every day for your glory. God, Help us to live in faith despite of our frame. And just let us be a blessing to others this week. In Jesus' name, amen.